This week on RSBNB Update, Ninja Strike 14 sees wiki integration enhancements, augment changes that are foreshadowing, and we discuss the Leeds Q&A for Treasure Hunter promos, RuneScape leagues, and a sneak peek at construction contracts. This is RSBNB Update, episode 803, recorded Thursday, November 12th, 2020. Performance-enhancing augments. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. This week, it is just Hannes and myself here. Bit of a respite. It's been a long time since we've just had one of these episodes, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, but don't get it twisted. There is still a lot going on this week.
Yeah, I mean, even the quiet weeks in this day and age, it seems as though there's always something going on, right?
You know, for a while, it seemed like we were really having this feast or famine type of situation going on. And it was either just like nothing going on or everything going on at once. I feel a little more balanced out now. And I kind of like the higher pace, you know. That
yeah,
I like that. I like having things to talk about and to
like. I was looking at our schedule, and November is booked up. December, two of the 3 weeks are accounted for already. Plus, we got to factor in all the clip shows and whatnot. So, I mean, as it stands right now, the way it looks right now, there's a very good chance that we're only going to have one of these other weeks between now and the end of the year with all the updates and content that are supposed to come in. So
now, can you believe that? Like, think back. If I had told you it was going to be like this in June, would you believe me?
I would have had to see it to believe it, but we're right. Getting off course, of course. And that's a fun discussion we can have. Of course, if you guys are joining us for the first time, you can find the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. You can also find us and support the podcast on Patreon at patreon.com/rsbnb. And of course, I am Shane12088 in game, and Tannis is Tannis79. And this week it is another Ninja Strike week, Ninja Strike 14. Focusing in on wiki functionality in terms of how exactly that works in game. And, you know, this is a reminder that you can type /wiki into game and you can search the RuneScape wiki. But what they have done is they've added a new wiki button in the bottom right hand side of the chat box. And you can even assign a keybind to it if you wanted to. And it'll take you right directly to the wiki with that. How do you feel about this?
So, I know that some people don't like it aesthetically, but I love it. Like, I never really liked typing in the /wiki stuff, and so, like, having the button there is really cool. I actually have used it a few different times this week because I had to, you know, when you're moving up through archaeology, you always got to look, oh, I got a level. Okay, well, where's this stuff at? Okay, right. Well, where do I get, you know? And so I was actually using it quite a bit this week, and it felt pretty flawless for me. I like it.
Okay. All right. I don't exactly like how it looks. It feels like it's an intrusion into my chat box, honestly.
Yeah, I figured you wouldn't be up on the aesthetic of it. And that's fair. I mean, you know, I do get that as a criticism. And had I not been using it like I was this week, I don't know if I'd feel the same. But it has been, you know, it gets extra points for its functionality because it's been so useful.
Yeah, and, you know, there is an option if you go into settings, gameplay, and chat customization, you can actually turn it off.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
So easy peasy.
Yeah, and, you know, I just wanted to highlight that because that was one of the big first complaints that I saw about it. So it's good that has been taken account into that. And, you know, they even say that, you know, hey, if you just really want the old-fashioned wiki, just go there in your browser and and bookmark it. So I think this is a good tool for people who want it. But personally, I turned it off and I will never see it again. But that's just me.
Well, you know, the good news is that it came with a toggle and it didn't have to be add a toggle later.
Yes.
Right. So
yeah. And, so you know, I also think we're at a point where these kind of toggles can be added sanely, because this is the kind of toggle that makes sense. And, you know, we had had all kinds of weird toggles in the past. And one of the things we complained about and even did a monthly bid on was the settings UI. And that has since been cleaned up. So I think we're on the right path with this. And this one isn't too egregious. So that's good. But we'll get into the rest of the Ninja Strike in just a moment. They also added Mod Frosch to the Ninja Strike as a junior content developer, so the Ninja team is expanding yet again. Really shows the push to make the Ninjas a core part of filling out the game content. And I think this is what people want to see, so that's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Well, and it makes sense, because look at how much they're getting out of the Ninjas.
Yeah.
I mean, the Ninjas are really kind of driving the update schedule at this point. I feel like if you're getting a lot out of them, then of course that's where you're going to put, you know, your resources.
Yep, that makes sense. Now, before we move on to the patch notes, there's something else that was a little bit interesting, and, you know, it could potentially have a double meaning. They added in store limits on the Augment store, so much so that you can now purchase a maximum of 30 prismatic lamps a day, 50 prismatic stars a day, 40 pulse cores a day, 40 cinder cores a day, 30 small protein packs a day, and 30 keys per day. The cap will reset each day. And, you know, they don't say what the rationale for this is. And, you know, I think the first rationale that everybody saw when this came out was that, you know, the two of the last bugs on Treasure Hunter, glitches, or I guess we could even say promotion convergences, and we'll talk more about this later when we talk about the live stream, have been related to oddments, right? So
yeah,
I think this is the first reason why you see this here, right?
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, it's related to oddments, but it's because oddments are the currency of conversion on Treasure Hunt, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think these are perfectly rational limits.
Oh, I mean, I find them to be generous, in my opinion.
Yeah. Like, you know, if we look at the medium prismatic lamp and, you know, I don't know. What do you think the average level people use these lamps on Treasure Hunters for? What do you think the average level is that somebody's going to use one?
Oh, the average level?
Yeah, is it like in the 90s and the 70s, 99 plus? I mean,
my guess is 90s and then over 99.
Okay, so let's just say over 99 then. And if you're over 99, you're getting 17,203 XP per lamp. That's 516K. Yeah. Which, I mean, if you're really sinking that many oddments into it, that's a lot of oddments for that. And if you want to do that, fine. And I think there's many, many training methods that you could push to get this 516K and many skills in game currently on that with.
Well, yeah, easily. And that's only like converting them each day, right?
You might not,
if you don't use the 500K, okay. Tomorrow you get to do the same thing. Add another 100K. It's bonus XP. It's going to be sitting there waiting for you for when you're ready.
Yeah, and I mean, so, if it's not on sale, you're looking at 300 oddments per lamp, and I mean, that's 9,000 oddments. I mean, I have that many stacking up, and I don't buy keys. But I mean, I guess if you bought keys, you probably wouldn't have that many oddments around. But I mean, what I'm getting at is, I think these are fairly sane limits.
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with these limits at all. They seem fine to me, because here's my thing is like, you can, if you buy however many keys, you can still go through all of those. The only thing that's being limited is the exchange of, you know, admins.
Yeah.
So you're still going to be able, I mean, you're still going to be able to bank that bonus XP and then tomorrow turn in another 9,000 oddments and bank that XP and do it again the next day until you're out of oddments. I don't think that's that big of an inconvenience, not with our players, because we're used to doing things day by day. Now, this will require some thought ahead of time so that you can make sure that you have what you need when you're getting ready to do a big skilling push, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Because you're going to want the bonus XP and you're also going to want the cinder cores.
Right. So, like, I mean, there is a downside that we will have to be more mindful. We won't be able to just run to the augment store and get what we need. So you will have to, like, plan your skilling stuff out. But I actually think that's okay. I mean, could you plan that out? Plan it out in accordance with, you know, a double XP period that's coming that quarter. Like, once we get used to this, I think it's going to work out just fine. But I'm much more interested in the other precedent that it's setting up than I am the limits.
Yeah,
I think we'll
talk about that in a minute here. It's 50 stars a day, which factoring that in at 99 plus.
Oh, I thought it was 30.
No, 50 stars. 50 stars, 30 lamps.
That's
1 million XP a day. I said that the star the lamp limit was okay.
Oh, I had them mixed up. That's perfect then. That's good.
Okay, you don't think that that's 1 million bonus XP a day is too much?
You have to buy it.
I know.
Nah. I don't have a problem with bonus. Look, when it comes
true,
to lamps,
because you still got
to
do the work.
You have to train it. And whether people admit it or they don't, people use bonus experience. It just is.
I could get 114 archaeology right now if I wanted to with that.
I know you could, Shane, and you are one of. I'll give it to you, man. You put your money where your mouth is. But I know a lot of people. They hang out in the bandwagon, but they're using their bonus experience.
Yeah,
they're probably making posts that this bonus experience sucks. MTX, stupid MTX. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, do I want another 50 stars? Yes, I do. Thank you. That's the truth, man.
Yeah, what about 40 cinder cores and pulse cores a day?
I think you can... It's going to be close, but I think that... That's it. See, I'm a little afraid that you could burn through that if you were putting in a real serious day of RuneScape.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing with the bonus experience. You can stack these things. So, look, they need to do a better job to not have these convergences or however you want to call it. But we might have to put in a little bit on our side of on planning. And I think that's a fair trade.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Now, you can also buy Treasure Hunter keys with this, but I don't think anybody buys Treasure Hunter keys with oddments. It doesn't make sense to, in my view.
Yeah, no, I never have.
I mean, it's like a reverse conversion. It doesn't make sense. So many people see this as a fix to those glitches that we saw. Fine. But I think what this is also potentially opening us up for is a trial of direct purchase of lamps, stars, pulse cores, cinder cores. Because like you said, anybody who is chasing maximum XP in a game is going to be using bonus XP and is going to be using one of those kind of cores, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I mean, this is it's akin to having performance-enhancing drugs, right? Like it's kind of, but it is, right? Like you don't if you're going to allow it, then you allow it. You know, like, and if you are competitive, you're not going to go and put yourself at a disadvantage. You're just not. If Lance Armstrong's over there taking four shots in the butt to, you know, pedal faster, the dude racing him is not going to not do that. He's going to do it too. And that's the thing with our, with, you know, with the high scores right now. Now, granted, the people that were there before, they were there before. But when we're talking about right now, that's how it is.
It's a different era.
It is, yeah.
And my theory on this is that while it looks like this is being used to fix those bugs that we saw, I think what we're being prepped for is a trial of direct purchase.
Yeah, and, you know, let me just let Jagex know ahead of time. It doesn't matter what you do. People will whine, cry, moan. They're going to say they're leaving. It's not the same. The game sucks. La, 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 la.
Because you could not do direct purchase if you didn't have limits.
And, right. But we do have limits. And at some point, you're just going to have to ignore that. There are options. You're going to have to make your own choice as a consumer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And you have options. Like, I'm not being a hard ass, being like, no, if there wasn't old school, if there wasn't Iron Man, if there was, I would have maybe a different opinion, but those things exist.
There's even Iron Man exclusive high score tables.
Right. Right. So, I mean, I think there's enough RuneScape for everybody. I've never been someone that thinks, you know, people should be shamed for how they want to play. I don't believe in that. I think this makes complete sense. If you don't have the time that you had during study hall because you was in freaking high school, and now, oh, I don't know, you're working out of, you know, a full-time job. You come home, you know, it takes a lot to run a house. You're cleaning, you're cooking, you're running around, you're chasing the kids. If someone wants to spend a little bit of money in exchange for that time, I don't think that's wrong. I just don't.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a debate that's always there, and we know microtransactions isn't going away.
Yeah, and it's a, look, frankly, it's a debate that I'm so over that it's hard to try to be, you know, like, it's hard to have more insightful things to say about it than I already have.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like you said, it's not going away. So it's like, I just want, at some point, we need to come together, accept the game the way it is. And if it's not a fit for you, that's okay. Like, I'm not judging you for not liking it. I think there's a place for you to play and enjoy and not like it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm not trying to do to you what I'm fighting against.
And I'm going to walk the plank here.
But we all
here.
Need to come together.
And I'm going to walk the plank here. I wouldn't mind seeing a week-long trial of purchasable augments and just see how that goes. And, you know, maybe even have a thing where they drop somewhat regularly through Slayer or Skilling, right? Obviously not as much as you could buy, but enough to, you know, still have a way of getting them in-game. And I think that'd be a really interesting experiment now that we have these limits.
You know, and I think that's something that we need to we really need to think about and maybe put out there, because at some point we want to see Treasure Hunter gone, right? We want to see it gone.
And even they addressed that in the live stream last week, the Leeds one.
Right. Right. And so, like, oddments and having another way to get the oddments other than just direct purchase, although I am a proponent of direct purchase, you should have an alternative way to get them through gameplay. And if we have that, then we don't need Treasure Hunter anymore. And it can go away.
Yeah.
And look, oddments are not in your face.
And I bet, and we don't have numbers on this, but I personally bet that the best-selling Treasure Hunter promo has got to be the Smoldering Lamps.
Well, anybody that's trying to be efficient, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Now, the difference comes, like, if you are in a grind and say, you know, you're towards the end of your grind. Now, sometimes you're not going to wait for a certain promotion. It's great if they happen and the timing matches, but sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. You know what I mean? you just want to get it done.
Yeah, and you know, we're predicting that there will be a direct purchase trial at some point. And you guys heard that here first. I don't want anyone getting surprised about that when it comes, but I think it will be on the way in the next 2 months or so.
Yeah, and don't freak out. Don't freak out. There are limits. There are limits.
Let the process play out. Right?
Okay. Yes, let the process play out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Shall we move on to the patch notes? I think that that about covers that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, patch notes this week, in addition to everything else, wiki-wise that we already talked about, partially eaten jellyfish can now be combined together using War's decant option or with the help of a friendly fisherman near the jellyfish spots at the deep sea fishing hub. Please do not think too hard about how we combine the jellyfish. This makes sense. It really does. Cool. It really does. So, well done. Well done.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not something that I use, but I'm glad they did it for people.
Yeah. You know? The deposit and bank boxes in the Menopause VIP and port area now allow you to deposit all fish just as you would in the deep sea fishing hub. Good. So you don't wind up depositing any rods or any other stuff that you're carrying in your inventory that's aiding in your fishing. You can also now right-click or long-press on the Herbie Werby shop to purchase multiple lamps or ancient seeds. You ever gone back there to Herbie Werby?
No. You haven't?
No, I haven't. I mean, there's the herb bag and the totem piece, but beyond that, I guess, you know, zygomite pet, if that's your kind of thing. Also, small herb lore and fire-making lamps.
Yeah.
That should have been bonus XP.
Yeah.
That should have been bonus XP.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not a lamp proponent.
No.
But bonus,
to me,
lamps
speak quest. So. Mechanized chinchampas will no longer be lost on death and can be reclaimed from death or from gravestones. Okay. Yeah, because they're expensive, so that's important. Robin and Port Phasmatis now has the option to convert all bones to bone meal and slime. That's nice.
That's really cool. That might make an old training method new again.
But wait, there's more. All Robin right. can also convert noted bones to noted bone meal and slime.
Seriously?
Yep.
Oh, damn. Damn.
Right?
Cool. Well, I already got my 120 prayer. Too bad, because that would have been
viable. I mean, everybody always focuses on, of course, the altars, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this was the original boosted prayer training method. And it's nice to see it, you know, just having the rough edges smoothed around. Because it was that convenience that issue of making your own bone meal that pushed me when I got 99 to the altar.
Yeah. The rates, I think, are actually better with the meal, but...
Yeah, they are.
It's not as convenient.
The altar
is,
I think, 3 or 3.5, and this is 4 times.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, something like that. I don't remember the exact number on the altar, but it's something around that. But yeah, I mean, holy cow. That's something.
Make things old new again. I like it.
Yeah, and I mean, this was tucked in the patch notes of all things, believe it or not.
That's a good thing, though, because even though that it could have taken a spot as an update,
yeah.
Like, it didn't have to.
Yeah. And, you know, lots of people would say, oh, but, you know, if it's an update, shouldn't it be an update? But, you know, people have criticized before for putting patch notes as updates, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important that the Ninja Strikes maintain that. So when you see a Ninja Strike, you know it's going to be that wholesome kind of update, right? So.
This is borderline. It can go either way, right? I mean, you can debate it either way. And with the Ninja Strikes, you're trying to keep them with the thematical, it seems like, and that wouldn't have had a place for.
Yeah. Yeah. The Personal Slayer Dungeons Ouija board can now be only used when you're in build mode. Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be able to move stuff when it's not in build mode. Moving on into Tutorial Island, which we know how important that is with the first-time user experience stuff that they're always talking about. Chat window is now going to be clear to preliminary login messages when arriving in the main game from Tutorial Island. Wonderful. The mobile top-level UI is now gradually revealed as the player makes progress on Tutorial Island. Yes. Perfect.
Good deal.
You know, the Tutorial Island was designed with the desktop in mind, but we also need to realize that there's a very real chance that somebody's going to be taking their first steps into RuneScape on a phone. So this is important. Very important.
Absolutely.
A pair of obstructive chairs have been removed from the starting area on Tutorial Island. An overlay which cycles between the core camera and interaction controls has been added to Tutorial Island, replacing the preliminary camera pop-up, which could be dismissed permanently. So what this means, for anybody wondering, because I realize that that sentence right there is a huge ball of text, what this means is that there's going to be no way for people to close down the camera tutorial when they start off. And it's going to be made easier to interact with, which is very important.
Yeah.
The RuneScape guide has been renamed to Reginald to make it clear who you're supposed to speak to.
Okay.
Remember it was called Reginald?
I didn't remember that, gosh.
The survival expert is now named Brianna instead of just survival expert, and both of them now will now wave to attract your attention.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Also, the initial camera zoom when starting out has been zoomed out a bit further. Input terminology has also been updated to comply with mobile gesture compliance guidelines, which, you know, if you drill down into the guidelines for the Apple Store, I don't know if the same thing is true on Android, but you have to use proper terminology in your app. That's something that's there.
That makes sense.
And the activity tracker parent tab is now locked while on Tutorial Island, which is where you'd be seeing your achievements. So it makes sense why, you know, you'd not want to effectively be confusing new players with an activity tracker that could potentially be loaded up, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's
good. I mean, I guess it could.
I'm very pleased with that. We also have some improvements to the Orth and Dig site. Time-worn tinctures can now be bought in noted form from the Archaeology Guild Shop. And remember, this is what you need to make the... I forget which potion it is, but it's one of the new potions that came out.
Oh, the Archaeology potion?
I think that one's just... That one's just soil, isn't it? Oh. It's the Spirit Attraction potion.
Oh, okay.
Spirit Attraction. That one's pretty... I still haven't heard of anyone using that.
It's not long enough. Once I get increased, we'll use it, but not right now.
You don't think 6 minutes is enough?
No.
All right, fair enough. Okay, now this is one that everybody's been waiting for who has been training archaeology since the very beginning. And some questions have been asked about why this didn't come up. And, I mean, better late than never, right? But the Lorehound pet now provides an increased chance to find lore pages when excavating. Yes.
I saw that. And I thought something was funny because, like, there were all these Lorehounds around me when I was like excavating. So I'm like, what is everyone got their hounds out for? And then I saw that the patch note. I'm like, okay. But dude, I had like 4 pages within, a couple hours of the, within probably 2 hours of the ritual site, I had everything.
That's like, about on par, I think.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, because I didn't think it was too long, really.
Yeah, I've spent 2 hours at Zolo City at 113 already, and I'm at 3 of 4 pages.
Okay.
So, progressing through that, as you can see. Also, the timer for the power burst of opportunity has been extended from 9.6 seconds to 15 seconds to allow players better time to use it around reaching 100% focus when excavating at a location.
Cool.
I don't know. I still don't know if people are going to use that one.
It's better than it was.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know. I just feel like you got to just time it so well, and it's just so expensive. I don't know if it's worth it.
No, it's not worth it. But if you have more money than sense, then by all means.
Because, I mean, this is the one that has Phasmatite and Third Age Iron in it.
Yeah, but, I mean, some people, like say that you're coming to Skellion or to Archaeology from PBM. You have more money than God. That stuff doesn't really matter.
Yeah, you're
going to
pay for it, honestly.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I gotta get the recipe and make some of those. Following up from last week's pass on the achievement system, unchecking the show complete checkbox in the achievement interface will now remove the completed steps in achievement dropdowns, making it much easier to see what you have left to complete, which is super useful, they say, for completing those cape achievements.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I guess makes sense that... unchecking show complete means that you're just going to have everything that's not complete. How do you do it? Do you, like, I just have the full list myself. I have show complete checked all the time. Do you run with that on or no?
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, I guess having not using the show complete checkbox is good for just having a pure list of everything's left. But, I mean, personally, I kind of like scrolling through that list and seeing everything I've done so far. Perhaps it's not the most efficient thing out there, but I find that interesting.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't mind. And no, I don't mind. I like to
All right. see that. The feats category in the achievement section has been upgraded to a full category with subcategories for hidden achievements such as clue logs, boss logs, slayer logs, the silver and gold warden titles, and breeding and the player-owned farm, Ravensworn traits. See, look how quick this was able to be done.
Mm-hmm.
After that system came in, this is something previously that couldn't have been done with the old system, at least easily. So we're already seeing benefits from this.
Yeah, we're already
with this.
Yep.
And you know, I think this is going to be some of the most impactful achievements out there, like clue logs, boss logs, and slayer logs. Right? People love those. People love those.
I mean, and we had confirmation with with Archaeology having its log when it came. So we like our logs.
They have also added a boss category subpet. It can be found under the combat category. Completing boss subcategories is no longer dependent on getting a rare pet drop. That's good. I know David was complaining about that when he was going for IFB or whatever the hell it was, whatever those crazy people do that us PVMers don't. Or us non-PVMers don't. Sorry, we're not PVMers here. Change the prerequisite quest for the kitty litter achievement from rat catchers to Gertrude's cat, as you can use a kitten as well as an adult cat. Some text updates for the Menophos and Doric achievements. The General's Shadow achievement has been removed as a requirement for the quest cape achievement because it prevented players from claiming their quest cape. That's odd. Now here's something I scratch my head about, this next one. At the request of players, the Mobilize This achievement has been reinstated.
But there's no why. There's no mobile. What that was Mobilize an Army, right?
Yeah.
So
this is an achievement you can't get anymore.
I
guess people who had it want to see it. But what does that do for you and me who can't get this anymore? I mean, granted, it gives zero rune score, but if it's on a list, the way lists work, you should be able to get anything that is on that list.
Well, and I mean, it's pretty well established. RuneScape players, we like the checklist.
Yeah.
You know, hence the locks.
Right.
We like that. But that doesn't make any sense. I guess somebody can correct us if how many people did.
Right. And somebody listening, correct us if we're wrong on this. But this feels like this is catering to a small section of the community at the detriment of everybody else who hasn't done this and can't do this going forward.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to really make much sense. Because why would you want that to stand out? I mean, it's part of other things that I don't get it. I don't know. I don't have an explanation for that, Shane.
Yeah, it's weird. Moving on, titles earned from the player-owned ports will no longer remove themselves upon login. Okay.
Good.
Mobile. Go ahead.
I was going to say you can go back to being cabin boy, Shane.
Yeah, I was Admiral for a long time.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. Okay. Gesture icons have been added on mobile to show the interaction in camera controls pop-ups and the mobile controls primer, which is another thing iOS apps need going in. And trees around Gilinor have been de-spookified, while the Draenor Manor grounds have also been de-spookified, but the graphical rework remains. Which is perfect, because that's what we said we wanted.
Perfect. Yep.
And that's the patch notes for this week. Very wholesome, I feel, eh?
Yeah.
Very wholesome. Okay, so last week, of course, we had a huge episode of Update Here talking about Kyrodet and the lore and the Zorossian Inquisition, and we put back the discussion of the Leeds Q&A from last week to this week, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. Construction contracts, that's the update coming on Monday. We'll talk a little bit about that. After you watch the live stream on that, so you can comment when we do that. But they talked about that.
Sure did.
You enjoyed that, didn't you?
I did.
Funny joke. We'll talk about what exactly that was in a minute. But this live stream, we had Mods Warden, Mike, and Osborne with Mod Huli hosting, and the first big thing that was talked about was the monthly update cycle. And what they want to do with this is aim to do something impactful each month for larger sections of the player base, because the example they gave is you could have something big like Anachronia come out, or something big like 120 Herbal or 120 Farming, but if you don't like those skills, you're kind of SOL for the next 2 months, right?
Yeah.
So the idea is that if this update you don't like this month, well, next month there might be something that you like better. And they were very pleased. Osborne was very, very pleased about when he was talking about the increase of momentum with the story that they're doing, from starting with Desperate Measures, then going into the Effigy Incubator, and then into the solo boss next month. Then, of course, we had the Yak Track lore in there as well. There's just so much story movement going forward, I think, even with Orthyn, that I don't think we've ever seen this pace of lore in here, have we?
We have it, and I think it's working out so well, because it's not taking away from anybody that is not into lore or story, right? But it gives those of us who do care so much more, and I feel like that's the best way. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if this is a development thing, because I don't wear that hat, but I do feel like having the story involved everything in the game is just a winner. It ties things together. It gives you it builds buy-in, because you become attached to these characters. You know, I can't wait till we start to see. Wouldn't you love to see like a backstory to our character? Like, what happened? How did we end up here?
Yeah,
you know, like there's so much story. I'm really loving this.
Kind of That's where the initial, you know, beginner quests, like the Champions and the Dragon Slayer and the Lumbridge area quests came in, right? That's kind of your backstory before you become World Guardian, and then you kind of, you know, proceed down a different path.
Well, yeah. But I mean, like, I think there is some room there for when you wake up in Totoro Island from where you
Right, okay, fair enough.
You came from. Yeah.
They want to do more with Halloween next year. This was just the start. And, you know, we said this year's felt kind of light, but I think it was enough. And next year's will be more.
Well, and so this year did some things right. Like, I'm not big mini quest, like, for event person, but this one wasn't too bad.
Would you rather have four mini quests like you did, or would you rather have a small quest like the slime quest on Valentine's Day?
Oh, I'd probably rather have the minis than the big one.
All right.
Like that. Because that was... Yeah. I probably would rather have it like this. I mean, ultimately, I would much rather have an ongoing kind of story like what we did with Dev's House, right? That would be ideal to me. But what I'm saying is, like, this time around, I think they got enough of it right that we can see where it's going. And it felt good. It just wasn't very long. And there wasn't any reason to go back. Because it wasn't... There wasn't enough reward to make you go and train there versus somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's probably by design, right? Because you don't really want that to happen.
You don't want it to be like the beach.
Right, right. But, and you know...
Where the dungeoneering hole is where anybody who is going for 99 dungeoneering is to be found for a week.
Yeah. Yeah. I will be in that hole when it comes around. You better bet. So I think this is great. I mean, this is exactly what I expected. And I think it's right on, you know? Give us what we had. Make it a little bit better. Give it a little more staying power, but other than that, I think we're good.
And this also goes into how I opened the show with saying that this is our first quiet week in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, from what we're doing on the production side to the updates we're talking about to the, because the way we do it is by and large part, we say this update is coming out. Who would be the best guest to come on that week? And then that guides who we have on the show that week. And then there are weeks like these where, you know, it's just nice to have a bit of a break and have two people on the show. But then there's other weeks where we have planned content out, like our archaeology episodes that we did last week. So when I say at the beginning of the show that for after this week, there's probably only going to be one more week in December where something is not planned, I truly mean it.
Yeah, well, and I mean, and of course, we're a little, I think, more sensitive to the scheduling because we see it week in, week out. You know, we're keenly aware of what is happening from week to week. So, I mean, myself, I can tell a major difference between this part of the year and, you know, the slump that we had through the summer.
Like,
it feels different.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, and, you know, I think anybody who has had their ear to the rail is definitely going to see that as well, going back to what happened after archaeology to where we are now. So that's good. They also talked about Steam. Stats say they're maintaining over 10,000 peak or concurrent users, hovers in the top 40 to 75 played games, and it's higher if you look at free-to-play only.
Cool. That's not terrible.
Yeah. I don't play it on Steam because 90% of the time I'm on Mac OS.
I play as much on Steam as I possibly can. Obviously, I can't do that when I'm on mobile, but I do play on Steam as much as I can if I'm on my desktop because I want to help. I like how the login for Steam is. I just click the button and I'm in and I like that.
Currently, RuneScape's peak today was 9,700.
Okay.
Current 8,700. So, a bit on the low end, but I mean...
And I think it'll take, you know, that's going to take time to gain some traction, but I mean, how many times have you looked at something on Steam thinking that you'd never seen it before, but it actually came out, you'll look at the date and it'll be like 2013 or something.
Right.
You're like, oh, You know, I think there's going to be some of that, you know, with RuneScape. Not that the release date, but when it was released to Steam.
Absolutely, absolutely. Among Us is number 4 right now. Just saying. But
that game's been doing gangbusters.
Yeah, it really has. It really has. Let's see. What else did we have in this live stream? They were very pleased with all the positive attention that the Steam launch received, both on the Valve side, the players, the content creators, and the community at large.
Good. I would love for Steam's discussion forums to be the place that people go eventually.
Oh, yeah. ClanQuest is recruiting there.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Also, Mod Hooli, who has been around the CM block before with other games, has said that this was his most stunning community launch to be a part of.
Cool.
And, you know, we've always said this, too, is that, you know, you can have RuneScape, but what makes the game for us, and the reason we're still here is, of course, is because of the community.
Yeah. So, good and bad.
Yep, good and bad. Love and hate. Very true.
But is there any other game that you can say, like, you make lifelong friends, you make career, you meet acquaintances, people get jobs and they get married? Like, what other game does that?
No, I haven't. Like, I haven't experienced anything else like that, honestly.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, I can't. I've got RS friends that are like I've had longer than like RL friends. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It's come to a point to where, like, there's no difference for me anymore.
Yeah.
It's just these are my friends, and there hasn't been very many any game like that in my life other than RuneScape.
And for anybody who wants more feelings like this, I recommend you watch the 15-year anniversary documentary, which you can find on YouTube.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was fun. Time to do another one of those, I think, at some point.
Gosh, we're getting close to 20, man.
Yep. And, you know, with 20 years, you got lots of unfinished and old content as well. And Maude Osborne said that over the past 4 to 5 years, the burden has really been felt of all the things that have been promised.
So the pressure has gotten their attention.
Yeah. obviously, the mining and smithing rework, I think, for me, would be the big one. Bank rework as well was there. What other big things over the past 4 to 5 years do you think they promised that they haven't delivered on yet?
See, I'm not really sure because I thought they did address some of this with the unfinished business.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been some big, wild things talked about at RuneFest. Like, you know, there was that boss that they talked about.
Hostilius. Like,
yes. That was a big one. I'm still waiting on my church. But I don't... There's nothing glaring to me anymore. Is there you? Like, do you see something they didn't do?
That's been talked about and could be done?
Yeah.
Lots of old quests.
This is kind of...
Like the gnomes and elemental workshop.
That's fair. That's fair, yeah. Because I'm having a hard time coming. I'm like, I don't want to be Pollyannish about this, but I'm really enjoying myself in the game, and I don't see something that I can't live without right now that they told me I was getting and I didn't get. Like I said, I'd love people to worship me at the church of me. That'd be awesome. But otherwise, like, you know, and I kind of take RuneFest things with a grain of salt a lot of times. Like, I know that these are big ideas. I want them to be big ideas. You know what I mean? Like, I know not all of them are gonna come to pass. Just like every concept car doesn't go into production.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And, you know, going forward, the question that will be asked is, what does the game need most?
And this is something I think is, at least I hope, maybe it's wishful thinking, but with what they said earlier in this live stream, I think they're starting to have an eye for the greatest good for the greatest amount of people.
Right. Players. And bang for buck as well, development-wise.
Yes, and I'm all for that. You know, I'm all for that. I'd much rather it be like that than having a perception that, well, we got to do something for PVM because we haven't done anything for them. Well, we've got to do something for skilling because, but we're all here. You know what I mean? So, like, I think this is a good direction. I'm very hopeful.
Yeah, and, you know, they say something is needed to alleviate the feel that there's a need in something, then they're going to do it. And they said one of those is going to be construction, which, of course, is the contracts that's coming out next week. Lack of new bosses, which is going to be addressed next month.
And see that, you know, and if we're being fair, yeah, that needs to be addressed. Like, you know, I mean, you can only grind the same thing for
but you know, as David said, you had a boss, and he feels that the skill cap has already been, maximum skill cap has already been reached with Solak. So the question is, what do you add after that, right? So that's going to be another.
But see that, well, what you add is like, well, you make PVM more accessible. Like, yes, this isn't going to satisfy all of the highest, most elite PVMers, but there's a lot of room in PVM. Like, under that highest ceiling. You know what I mean? And you could make it entertaining. You could make it fun so that they would still want to come and do it. Now, they might not spend hours and hours grinding it, but you make it fun. You make fun content so people want to go and play it.
Yeah. And, you know, they said it was also important to launch a skill and then add to it, you know, both with the reward from the quest and the Orth and Dig site, because that way then you just, you know, have this thing that doesn't change for a year. You don't want that.
Yeah, no, I think they're spot on with that.
Also, the team is focused on the future, future growth, future platforms, and future content, and the goal will be to maintain the identity of the game and carry it forward.
See, that's good, and that should put some like more traditionalist kind of people at ease, because the one thing they don't want to mess up is their brand. Look at how many times they've tried to branch out and it just doesn't work.
It comes back to RuneScape each and every time.
It always comes back to RuneScape. So they will protect this brand. They're not going to go crazy, guys. Like, that doesn't make business sense.
Yeah, exactly. <You know? laughs> Exactly. A lot of the plans going forward are going to look at what the right mix of events are with the updates and everything else in the future, iron out the wrinkles, find overlaps, and just, you know, spread things out more efficiently. And I think we talked about that too. Yeah. Like, what was it that overlapped with the last Yak track? Something overlapped with the start of the last Yak track.
It was, what was it?
Was it the community event, I think? I think it might have been the community event or something.
It might have been.
I don't know, but something definitely overlapped.
Because I remember that I chose to do the Yak track instead. I remember that.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what I chose it over.
Yeah, and you know, the biggest defender of this was launching the Yak track the same week that the 120 Herblore and Farming launched last year. That was the biggest case of that. Yeah.
Yeah, which did that come during the first extended DXP? I want to say that was the same time too. We had all three of those things in that week.
I think it might have been the week after. I don't know.
Okay,
because it wouldn't make sense to launch.
Well,
the skill.
It wouldn't. And what we've talked about before is if there had just been a little more thought put into. Well, I don't want to say thought, but if it had been spaced differently, we might not have been addressing the player sentiment of feeling like there was droughts if it had just been sequenced in a different way, you know, spaced out in a different way. So this is good.
Yeah, very important. And, you know, as we talk about Yak Track and events and whatnot, the conversation turns to microtransactions. And, you know, Mark Mike really didn't drop any big cannonballs this time, which is good.
He's learning.
And the goal is to take some of the friction out of the microtransaction services going forward. all the way to even looking down at the core aspect of it in terms of how Treasure Hunters developed.
Yeah, look, we need to be even keel when it comes to this. And the reason I'm saying that is, like, I really believe that you hit on a very important thing when you talk about kind of this silent majority. The majority of people out there just don't
round
have
table.
Strong feelings. Yeah, you know, we talked about that. And but for those that it does, they're so loud, and that's where the friction comes from. You know, like, the friction's coming from one area. And I get it. I understand why you might be upset. But what each side needs to learn is, one, Treasure Hunter isn't going away. It's never going to just be ripped out of the game, okay? So you got to come in to a discussion with that realization.
Oh, really? I thought I heard in the live stream, in this Leeds live stream, that they were talking about potentially having it fade to the background at some point.
So Treasure Hunter is going away. MTX is never going away.
True.
My bad.
Okay.
My bad.
Let's get that clear.
What I'm trying. Good. Yes. Good on you, Shane. Because, yeah. No, exactly. But MTX isn't going away. And so, like, at the same time, I think Jagex has to remember that it does ruffle feathers of a particular subset of players. Now, how do we get these people to talk and understand each other and be like, look, we have to have some, you know, and it seems like that's the friction.
You know where these kind of lessons happen in real life?
Yeah.
They happen at the church at Sunday school.
What? Okay, that wasn't where I thought you were going with that. At all.
Okay, where did you think?
I thought you were going to talk about politics.
No.
I didn't think you were going with the whole church thing. Okay.
No, yeah. Sunday school, you know, people are always talking about having the kids be closer to their family's preferred deity of choice, preferred religious persuasion, right? But along with that also comes the talk of you hope, being accepting of others, in particular those who don't believe. And
okay,
that's why I said you have this conversation in Sunday school.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from now.
So, I mean, I realize I kind of threw you there, right?
You did, man. I was like, huh? What?
Anyways, there's going to be another Yak Track at the end of the month as well, focused on Christmas-themed things.
Oh,
we're looking
cool.
at less than a month between Yak Tracks.
I need a new Christmas outfit so bad. I'm tired of being frosty. So
we were told that
Come
they'd
on,
be happening every
Christmas
6 weeks,
outfit.
But I mean, what I take this to believe, and I hope I'm wrong on this, is I think that Christmas this year is just going to be the Grand Exchange stuff with Violet as Blue 2 plus this Yak Track.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that would be fine. I mean, Violet is Blue wasn't that small of a quest.
No.
Like, it was a regular, traditional RuneScape quest.
Right, and remember last year we complained that there really wasn't enough Christmas.
Yeah.
So I think this is the attempt to add to it.
Okay.
But we'll see.
And we need it this year, guys. We need it. Give us some extra light. Everyone's had a hard year, no matter where you're at. Give us some early Christmas.
Yeah, and,
we
know,
need that
end of the month. End of the month. They're going to be looking at balance and whether it's time to move Treasure Hunter more to the back seat, given the way the promos have changed. And that's big.
Yes.
Before we dive into that, I just want to say that at our monthly roundtable, we had a discussion about the Treasure Hunter promos, and I think it was Melanoric who was there, said that a lot of the changes that have been made to the Treasure Hunter this year have actually made it less offensive. And the only real point of contention now is when you get something like the Rainbow promo where you can't choose your reward. Or you have items like we're going to see with next week's construction contracts that are going to be partially available on Treasure Hunter and partially available in-game. He would have liked it to be 100% in-game on that. So,
yeah.
And this is what you were talking about. And I think the discussion in the majority, silent majority, has shifted on that.
I think so. And, you know, I think he is a really good example of the people that I think we can
are just out there.
Right. That we do talk
and
to.
Playing the game.
They're quiet. They might not like it, you know, but at the same time, they understand it and they see that progress is being made. They're not just screaming. It's just like, I hate it. You've offended me. It's, you know, I think that is where I want people to be. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying you have to support it. And I don't think, you definitely don't have to agree with it. Just don't judge people. Don't, you know what I mean? Like.
Yeah. And you know what a really interesting part about this is, and this is the part I want to get into. Talk about looking at the balance and whether it's time to move Treasure Hunter more to the back seat.
It all depends on this trial balloon. If the trial balloon of the oddments goes well, then there's no reason.
That's assuming it's coming. We think it's coming, but we don't have any confirmation on that. I want to be clear on that.
Yeah. No. This is complete speculation, but at the same time, I think one kind of sets up the other. And we know that there's going to be more experimentation to do.
We'll see if I'm right. At the end of last year, I wrote an article that by the end of 2020, Jagex will be in a position to be able to remove Treasure Hunter.
And I mean, but and everything has
but
been on track.
But they're talking about it.
Yeah, no, it's been on track. It's never going to be the exact time frame that we want or hope for, right?
Right. Like, remember how I predicted archaeology?
Yes.
Without naming it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, so I think we can push Treasure Hunter back. I think Treasure Hunter should be pushed back. And here's the other thing that, yes, they did a fix to oddments so that maybe you don't have so much convergence. Okay. Understand. But if that gets pushed to the back burner or even removed, you're not going to have those problems at all. And it must be a tough job. I acknowledge that. But we have seen some mistakes coming out of there that we really shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because we really shouldn't.
And I think that's cue of where we're going next with last week's Treasure Hunter bug that we... We wanted to talk about this last week, but I didn't feel it was the right time to do so yet. Because there were so many unknowns with it, I didn't want to run into this and point fingers and talk about something that we didn't have the full lay of the land with. Because that wouldn't have served anyone with good data and good news, of course. So this was, of course, another oddments-related bug that happened with a convergence of a promotion that allowed effectively infinite oddments, which in turn allowed infinite lamps or infinite bonus XP. And as a result of this, some temporary bans have been issued, XP and items have been taken back, and internally they're building a process that catches these kind of things. Now, where the majority of RuneScapers became aware of this was the content creator known as Wazzy made a video where he demonstrated this on a fresh alt account. I need to underscore that. On a fresh alt account. And, you know, we could have ran into this and we could have pointed fingers and said that, you know, hey, this was on an alt account. This guy should have been completely, you know, punished on his main and should have been punished for promoting a video on that. And that's why we didn't run into this. We wanted to get the full story on this, and we did. I chatted with him earlier today, and he said that that account where he did the demonstration got a 3-day ban and had all the XP that he earned rolled back about it. And it was classed as a minor bug abuse with that. And I think The important thing to know here is that, and this is what I was worried about going in, is that we'd see two different streams of justice delivered on this.
That was my concern. That was my biggest concern. And even if it was more nuanced, I didn't want it to be close enough to where that narrative could begin to take hold. Because there's very few things that can be as destructive as separating people through unequal uses of punishment. You know what I mean?
Like exactly.
Can be very dangerous.
Yeah. So that's good. Now, as to whether or not that video should have been shown out, personally, I probably wouldn't have run a video like that myself. I do have to say that. But all things considered, I think the fact that we have these oddment limits in place now, the bans were issued, XP was taken back, items are in were taken back, and Jagex is looking forward on this, I don't really have that much of a concern on this. Do you?
No. So, like, the first time that this kind of a bug happened, I was very much on the side of, well, this is Jagex's fault, and they really should have not had this happen. This being the second time that an almost, I mean, it's almost the exact same situation. Well, you know, people got banned from the first time now, right? Like, whether I agreed with that or not, you know that that happened. So if you engage in it this time, it is kind of on you, right?
Right.
Like, so I do have a little bit, you know, different stance this time than I did last, because it happened before. You know, like, you know that it's not. You know it's not right this time. Now, as for, like, I had the same fears as you did about justice being divvied out in different ways. I actually think this was good. This is totally in lines of what I would want to be done. I don't, you know, he did it on alt. I think the account that does it is the account that's punished. Like, that seems perfectly fair to me. Now, I don't want to presume to be in someone's mind, and I don't want to, like, you know, I don't know what they were thinking. All I can say is, if it was me, if I were making a video, I would have recorded the footage, right? But I also would have sent in a bug report and tried to email or DM, Twitter, somehow get a hold of someone at Jagex and be like, look, this is what's going on. I do have the footage. I'm going to do a video. I'm within my rights to do a video. But I want to let you give the heads up, and do you think you're going to hotfix this? I'll release my video after it's fixed.
Yeah, and that's one thing I'm not clear on, is what the timetable was between release and hotfix. I imagine it would have been pretty quick, though.
I would think, but that's the only thing that I could say that, like, I know I would do, and I don't know if he did or he didn't, or, you know, I have no idea. But that's the only thing that I, you know, I can see here. But I'm very glad that there was a temporary ban, because I would have been hot, man. I would have been real hot if a content creator got away with that and everyone else was getting banned.
Yeah. All right. Aside from microtransactions, questions also came about old content. The Ninja Team is, of course, always doing quality of life, and they're also going to be touching some old content in terms of reworking it. I think the biggest one we've seen so far on that is Shattered Worlds. They also want to do more chatting with the Core Experience Mobile Team, who are going to be working on and improving old first-time user experience content. And even the episodic content team has the ability to rip out, change, and update existing content just as much as creating new content.
So those are the remasters we're talking about, or remaster light.
Yes.
Ish, you know.
Yes.
But that's good, because, like, you know, with the I want to see more focus on early game content just for growth. You know what I mean? Like, we need that for growth. You can't let somebody walk into a 20-year-old game and have it look and feel 20 years old. Like, it's not going to work. You're not going to get new blood that way.
Yeah. So, I think this is a good mantra going forward, and it's just going to be striking that right balance. And I know from the Clan Quest community, we just want old quests that old quest lines that haven't been touched to get some love. I mean, I think if you did the gnomes, you'd smash 50% of that right now.
Oh, at least in. Can we finish off the fifth age, please? I mean, we're going to be going into whatever comes after the sixth. Let's finish up the fifth. Please. Yes, give us a gnome quest, please.
I'm rubbing my hands right now for Elemental Workshop.
I knew you were. I could see you doing it. Look, if that's the price I have to pay to finish up the fifth age, then, well, I'm dragging you with me.
I think Elemental Workshop's actually ambiguous.
Is it? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
Well, regardless, I'm dragging you with me. So... I'll be streaming that one in Discord going, Shane, help.
Yeah, and you know, I actually think I will stream that when it comes out, because it's a quest I've been championing for so long.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. Now, this is something you wanted to talk about, RuneScape Leagues. Any question if that could happen in RS3? They said their idea is to just not chase and duplicate something that old school is doing.
Well, look. In a sense, that is the right approach in general, right? Like, in general, just because one thing works for one game doesn't mean it's going to work for the other. But they are also looking at leagues much the same, I think, as a lot of people are, of just taking what old school is doing and bringing it into RS, somehow making it work, you know, more in an RS theme. Now, when I look at leagues, I am much more going towards what they're talking about when they're talking about doing a if that were to ever happen, it would be in something that RS does well. So like a PVM setting, a skilling setting, a clue/quest adventuring setting.
You're saying exactly everything they did on the stream. Is that because that's what they said, or because that's the way you would like?
No, this is what I talked to. Well, I talked about it at the round table,
right?
But this is something I've been working on. The last few weeks is some, in my mind, I want to see, like, when you hear leagues, what I want to see is like, I want
seasonal
like
high dark, scores
essentially, but with like a Darkscape league that runs that platform that
right.
runs Darkscape
and
over
my concern,
a certain period of time.
And my concern about doing that is it would be starting from the bottom and I don't get to use anything.
Absolutely.
In the main.
No, you won't be able to use your main for this. That is the drawback. But but you would also be starting so, but because it's competitive, so there's not going to be any bonus, no lamps, no none of that. You'd have your Darkscape. You could have a clue in quest, you know, season, which could be you could do it either on a point system, so something like, you know, I'm not sure the details on that. Skilling, you do the same thing. Erewhon starts at zero. Raw high score matters. Raw XP, you know. I think that'd be awesome. And you could do, all you have to do is come up with four of them, and then you run four of them throughout the year.
Right, and they said if it were to be done for RS3, it would be something that makes sense. And I think you hit the nail on the head on exactly what they would be, because they said the exact same things. And, you know, they said
kinda
they could
funny.
Also be with leaderboards and competitions.
Yeah.
And high score tables, too.
Yeah, well, I think that's what makes the league, you know? I mean, because here's what I want. In a way, I got to that by looking at our conversation that we have all the time about endgame. And we're always trying to think, what is endgame?
Yeah,
and it finally dawned on me that there is never going to be one end game. That's not what RuneScape is. And what makes people play, like, I've always been fascinated with Fortnite, right? What makes people play the same thing over and over and
it's
over?
The fashion
it
scape.
Is the same thing. Like,
it's the fashion scape,
you know,
isn't it?
Well, it's part of that, but it's having that new competitive experience each time. And so I think in RuneScape, we have our mains, we have the main game, and you want to put your time into that. That's, you know, that's on you. That's great. That's your choice. But having an option to be like where everything is new, throughout that, you know, season, I think it would draw a lot of attention. It would draw a lot of people. Most of us play two or three accounts at the same time.
Play one.
Well, I know. You're very traditional, Shane. But you're probably playing something else, too, or doing something else, too, right? I mean...
Yeah, reading or watching.
I know you, Shane. I know you, Shane. You're producing something.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's the ticket. And even though, like, they got there through, you know, just everybody talking about, hey, can we have leagues? And I kind of got there through thinking, well, what is RuneScape's, you know, what could be an end game for us? Like, what would it look like if you had everything and you have nothing to do? Why do you come back? Like, if RuneScape was like an Elder Scrolls, or, you know, a Stowe, like, what do you do at the end? And yeah. I'm like, right now it's only one thing. We have to change that. And with these leagues,
could you imagine if one of them was like a battle royale league?
You could. Well, I mean, you could do all kinds of stuff like that. Like, you could either do it either through like a Dimension of the Damned in a PVM sense, or you could even do it in a PvP sense, like through a Darkscape.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sitting here like developing them, and I'm just, these are very broad, very vague categories, but I think there's so much potential.
Yeah, and you know, I think we're also in a position now where Mod Warden is willing to take more risks in doing these kind of things.
Yeah, well, and Shane, I really don't think it's much of a risk.
No, because you remember what he said. He said that one of his biggest treasure troves that he found was the subreddit for Darkscape.
Yeah. Yeah. That was so fun. Did you take part, Shane?
Briefly.
It was so fun. Like, yeah. I hated it because after about 6 weeks, if you weren't really high up there, you were just dead meat. But it was so fun. Like, and I don't PvP, but I had a blast. With the accelerated XP the way it was, and that was fun, man.
Yeah, and you got the whole world access, too, even if you're free-to-play. So, I mean, I think there's definitely lots that could be done on this. It's just a matter of time getting things all sorted out.
Yeah, and one, they even took some of the stuff from Darkscape and put into leagues, like with their with the geographical type settings being locked and stuff. That was something that came from Darkscape, where they weren't locked, but there were major differences between the sectors that you went to, both in trade and how the PvP aspects of it were. Whether the guards would look out for you, or whether they're like, yeah, good luck, bud. You know, like. So I see a lot of those things that came from that are in leagues now.
Right. All right. Let's just address some of the little miscellaneous grab bag questions that were posted. Could free-to-play be expanded by increasing level caps to 20? They said they want to do something different than that, just because getting a level 20 is so quick.
Okay. Yeah. Rare. It means love.
Yeah, it does, and there's got to be a way. Rare item tokens will be looked at, and probably should be looked at, so much so that after the stream, Osborne and Mike are going to have a talk about if they could be tied in with oddments. Because, I mean, the rare item store is, you know, very old and flat.
Very.
Yeah.
Very.
Now, here's a fun question, and we just finished answering this. What skill would you like to add alternate training methods to next? Because, of course, they were talking about construction. For Mod Osborn, there's a clear two. Agility and divination. Well, I mean, it just so happens that some group, just laid out a ninja strike and a potential skill redesign for agility.
Lucky for them.
That actually answers the question, what's the joyful thing that drags players through the skill?
Yep, great timing there.
Mod Warden likes seeing new skills come in, and Mod Mike just went with agility.
Well, it's two for agility.
Yeah, I mean, divination is an interesting one, too, because it's really just the Divine Charge and Porter skill now, isn't it?
But, I mean, they're looking at the training of it, and so, like...
Yeah.
I mean, right now, I mean, divination's always just been air fishing anyway.
And cash or bust.
Until the cash or bust, yeah. But see, and we always forget there is another divination training out there, the Memorial to Guthix.
Which can actually be two-ticked.
Especially right now, look for the worlds. If you're doing divination training during double XP, that middle thing will be going off like crazy. I forget the name of it. That's what you want to train. That's what you want to two-tick. So I don't really feel like divination is... I would rather do it. I'm definitely a vote for agility, yeah. But of course, I was at the, you know, we...
Summoning is also an interesting one, I think.
You know, but I think we saw a lot of... Where I would love to see summoning go, we got some of that with our binding contracts. It kind of took it away from being just pouch making.
Yeah, true.
Because I'm not...
I mean, is it even...
You know, that's what it's always been.
I haven't even looked in on it. How are binding contracts for XP if you're doing the higher level ones?
You know, I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Well, that's something to look into then.
Unlocked. Yeah.
Okay. Is the tick rate improvement still going to be worked on? And, you know, they said this has become a bigger project than they initially thought, and it would be changing the whole behavior of the game, and it would have many impacts on gameplay, one of them being PVM, which is not an easy problem to solve.
So I'm really bummed about this. This is one of the things that I'm not so up on.
Right, and at this really point it sounds like the tick rate improvement project would be only fixed by developing a new game.
Yeah, so look, I understand the concerns because it would. Like, there's no doubt that PVM would have to learn to PVM again. I mean, everything is based on the ticks, but...
Right, and so many things that you don't think of as well would need to be fixed or updated. Like right now,
right,
farming is based on ticks.
Yeah. See, I'll be completely honest. I was all for the working on the tick system because I thought it would be a backdoor to giving us some WASD movement. But it doesn't appear that's going to happen.
No,
so
you know, they really could just do that right now on their own if they wanted to. Because you have a square-based grid system right now about where your character is, and it just determines the best way to move based on pathfinding with that. But if you wanted to bring in WASD movement on top of that, all you would basically need is, and this is abstracting a lot, and I underscore a lot, would be an extra layer on top of that that would just be the player movement layer. And then you could let the character move around with WASD with that. But then at that point, it doesn't feel like RuneScape, does it?
Well, okay, so for the PVM guys, for traditionalists, it probably wouldn't. And, you know, honestly, once it was in my hands, maybe it wouldn't. I don't know. But I know for me that it would be a huge improvement. It would be... it would be much easier for me to boss. I do so much better with games that I can actively move around with instead of having to, you know, concentrate on that mouse pointer and keep my eye on it. It's really hard. So that's more me than anything else. But I don't know. I'm kind of sorry to see that this isn't probably going to come to fruition.
Yeah. And they say there are bigger gains that can be made by optimizing scripts, and the achievements rework was one of them. These things are very costly for game performance, so that makes sense. Also, people were wondering about the state of the game with double XP live in terms of the XP coming in. They said it's a good amount of XP. It's not game-breaking in a way, and when it comes to double XP, more players are engaging with it in the new method than they were in the old method, and new players from Steam are actually really excited about double XP live.
Dude, I was just thinking, I think I was sitting here last night playing, and I'm like, I really have come to enjoy double XP live. I've gotten more out of double XP live than I've ever gotten in any DXP weekend. And now, let me say that because I wasn't, like, an extremist, right? Like, I played hard, but I didn't play crazy.
I still got 44 hours left.
You know, if I was tired, I'd take a nap. If I was hungry, I got something to eat. You know, if I needed to walk away and take a break, I did. But being it, but it had given me a week. I usually run that 48, no problem. Like, I'm down to about 21 now, I think. And that's, I'll have that done by Saturday, probably. So, Saturday or Sunday. I mean, I'll be done with it for sure. So, I really like this system. And I didn't think I would at first. But, I don't know, I feel a lot more leisurely. Doesn't it just feel like...
Yeah, it does.
Just more comfortable.
Yeah. And also with this, they want to space things out more. The Yak Tracks, the Halloweens, the Christmases, the beaches, the Easter, that kind of thing, which makes sense. We already talked about that.
Yeah.
Simple question, and more Steam achievements being added? Yes.
Good.
Could summoning double XP be changed to be more like archaeology?
I don't know how you would do that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess extra charms.
Extra charm? Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
but see, we do that during a Slayer
weekend
or time period. You know what? I think summoning's just fast enough. In fact, it's pretty nuts. Like, it's one, that's one of the double XP skills that is crazy, right? Like,
in regards to how archaeology was set up for double XP, the decision was made as to not change the core training method to avoid people from having them hoard their artifacts and then use them on double XP like people do for summoning.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of having the reverse effect, but it's great. Like, I think what they did is just awesome. And I've done archaeology this whole double XP lot. Like, you know, and let's see how... I hit 99, what, maybe 2-3 weeks ago? Now I'm 107?
There you go.
You know, I mean, I think it's great. Like, I think it's great. And the materials are real expensive at this point, especially from Orthon. But I think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Final question. What about Ashdale? If there's any changes ever going to be made to that, they said it was, built differently as one environment and as if the buildings weren't put onto the ground, everything was built as, you know, an object that you could just go into, which you can tell based on the way it looks. It's going to be likely more pushed to the side than integrated in the first time user experience.
Okay.
Yeah. And
that might be one that has to be ripped out and put back.
No, don't do that. It's very beautiful.
Well, yeah, but you can still make it pretty, can't you?
I guess. All right. We're going to wrap up the RS section. But, of course, on Monday we have, in addition to the construction contracts, we have Premier Club. Let's do the construction contracts first, because this is going to be a new method of training construction from the level 40 to 70 band. So mid-level, we'll underscore that here, that this is mid-level. You're likely, of course, if you're way higher than that, going to still want to train the regular way that we've known all these years to train construction. But the goal behind this was to add a less intensive, less expensive construction training method in the 40 to 70 band.
And I want people to know too that, like, we won't know till next week, but from the looks of it, it's still something you're going to probably want to do, because there are some rewards you're going to want continuing post 70, post 99 even.
Yeah, so the way it's going to work is talk to any of the estate agents and you'll be assigned a contract, and you'll go out to the shop or the house and fix up their furniture for them. And that's really what this is, construction on the overworld. And of course, you'll get construction XP, and they say the big benefit of this is construction XP at half the cost or a fraction of the cost. And each time you complete a contract, you'll get contract credits, which can be spent on construction-related goods at any estate agent. And these include the plank box, which allow you to more planks. Yeah, they say, why? That's the butler's work. Well, now you can carry at least 25 of each extra plank with you at all times.
They say it could be upgraded maybe all the way up to 100.
Yes, upgrade 1 brings you up to 50. Upgrade 2 brings you up to 100.
Yeah, now we're talking.
And, you know, in a way, this is going to be more efficient, I think, than using the butler.
Because, well, yeah, I mean,
because when you think about it, if your house is in Prif, you're only a few steps away from that bank chest. And the only thing you're waiting for is for your house to load. And, I mean, you only have to load it one way because you can just bring your teleport crystal with you and teleport directly to that bank.
Well, you can just bring – I mean, it sounds like they're going to be unlimited teleports.
Okay, let's look at the master construction outfit then.
Oh, yeah. That's where it was. Well, okay.
Exactly.
I was like, I know I heard that. Where was it? Yeah. Okay.
So it'll also be on Treasure Hunter, but you'll also be able to purchase it in-game. With that, equipping all five pieces of this will allow you to automatically remove furniture as you build it. That's big.
Dude.
Ability to convert logs to planks on the go.
Mm.
Now, I wonder, does that mean as you woodcutter, is you can just, you know, use it as a plank maker?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I didn't think about
That's going to be a question. Temporary +3 boost to the construction skill, increased build progress for construction contracts, and chances to instantly finish repairs during construction contracts, and unlimited teleports to your house, house portals, estate agents, and your current construction contract. Now, the only thing they really need to iron out about this is making it so that it takes a little bit less time to load your house.
Yeah. The only thing that I'm a little, like, confused with is with this master construction outfit, like, if the content is meant for the 40 to 70 band, that outfit is meant for way higher than that.
Yeah.
Right.
So the way I see this going is that you're going to do the contracts in the 40 to 70 band if you're short on money. And if you're like us, Max, you're going to do the contracts to get the rewards out of it. Then unless you're really comfortable with getting lower XP rates, you're going to go back to training like normal and just use the hell out of that outfit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
That's what I see going on here. Plus the plank box.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
That's what I see this being positioned as with this. And, you know, the reason we saw people get 99 construction in, I forget how long it took. Was that one 48 hours or was that one like 5 days? I don't know, something short like that. But when it came out, the reason people got it so quick is because they had money to burn.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have money, construction is one of the slowest skills to train. So this makes sense.
I was going to say, I don't think that's never been one that I've ever heard anyone say it's fast, ever.
It's what?
I've never heard anyone say construction was fast. Like, I've never heard that.
Well, it was fast back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah, not today. Not today. But back in the day it was, when it came out. But yeah, I mean, we'll save our judgment for what happens next Monday with this one because this is, of course, the update and we don't want to preempt that. So just keep your eyes and ears open on that.
It's my favorite skill, so
there you go.
I'm looking forward to trying. You know, I have a untrimmed construction on my alt.
Oh, wow.
That was the whole reason I did an alt was I wanted an untrimmed construction.
Yeah.
You know the feeling, right, Shane?
Yeah, I do. All too well. Premier Club is also launching on the 16th. You'll get the Ceremonial Guard armor and Osprey pet, as well as, of course, all the Yak tracks for 2021, plus the extra Treasure Hunter key, Premier Club vault, and a free boss instance reset every week, and a whole lot more, including new monthly drops that'll feature surprise items from Umbral chests to bonus protein packs that they say enhance your adventure. How do we feel about these Umbral chests coming in with this?
Well, I mean, I think Premier Club was at a point that it did need some more value, especially because we still do have quite a few players that are on one of the grandfather tiers. So you have to have some kind of value to draw them to want to do Premier Club. That being said,
because these
there's only so many tools they have, right?
Yeah, so and I mean, these Umbrals have a chance of giving 200 mil coins, 100 mil coins, Silverhawk feathers, proteins, cosmetics, a bunch of other cosmetics, rare item stuff, treasure hunter items.
Yeah, and here's the thing.
It doesn't really move me.
No, I mean, with the exception of, the GP, you gotta remember, these are convenience items. They're for convenience to make your gameplay a little bit easier. Isn't that what you would want in Premier Club? That seems like that would be totally right up the alley.
Yeah.
They used to do special orders or whatever. It looks like.
Right.
I didn't see that on this time. So, I think the chest is okay. I never get anything good out of them, so maybe that's colored my opinion. Well, that's fine, but.
Yeah, and there's also this still going to be the rune metrics thing, I guess, as well. Discount.
That actually is really good.
Yeah. I wish we had the webpage right now that would show us everything that we get on this, because they say and more, but we don't know what more is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I'm on $5 a month. Right?
Yeah.
And if I can make, right now bonds are going for, what are bonds going for? GE says 27.8, but I imagine they're more than that. Right? So let's just say 30. If bonds were 30 mil a piece, and I wanted to do the 4 yak tracks every year, that'd be 8 bonds I'd need to purchase. And the question is, of course, can I make 60 million GP doing the act track or in the interim period between them? And do I want to spend it on that? Or do I just want to support Jagex and go for that? Because, I mean, the way we're going right now, this is going to be an extra $30 a month or so for just yak tracks. Really the only thing that I took advantage of this year. I think I used the Premier Vault once. I use the Premier Artifact daily with archaeology training. But, I mean, beyond that, it's kind of hard to wait for me, going back to 5.
I'm hoping to be able to do it again this year. Just because then I don't feel – I run my all a lot more this year. When I had Premier Club, because I didn't feel like I was paying for two. Even though I did, it didn't feel like I was at the same time. And also, I thought I was on the $5 rate, but I'm not. I'm on the one that came after that. So it's not quite as
cool. Yeah, I think Premier Club is worth it if you're on anything but the $5 rate, honestly.
Yeah, mine's the 7, 8, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
It was the first time that it was hiked. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see on that. But nonetheless, that's the RS section of the show this week, and we're going to move on to tech news right now. But I'd also like to thank some Patreon supporters this week, in particular Andrew C., Brock H., Cameron, Christian S., Diana, Duramax, Jade Gizmo, JW, Jason S., Joe M., John P., Keski, Kyle, Nora, Rastafa, Ricky A, Samantha R, Soupfinder, Stubby, the Naked Captain, The Lion, Tom V, and Zant. Thank you, all of you, for your support. It truly does mean the world to us. And if you're wondering what all this is about, just head on over to patreon.com/rsbnb. There you can support the podcast if you want. For as little as $1 a month, we give you special access to the show notes, as well as, of course, helping to fund the cost for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. For $3 a month, you'll get a special VIP rank on Discord and a mention on the podcast at the start of the month, and access to high-quality stereo AAC versions of the show. And for $5 a month, you'll get a special shout-out each and every week on the podcast. We'll gain access to the outtakes that we use to build the clip show at the end of the year. Now, of course, you're wondering, what do you get with this? Well, for as little as $1 a month, you get access to our monthly bit bonus show, which was just about a rework of the agility skill. So that's a fun listen right there. You'll also get access to the inside update blog post, which is an inside look at the production of RSBNB update. Also, for at our $50 a month tier, we have the roundtable, which we ran last Saturday, which is just a fun little discussion on anything and everything RuneScape related. Then, of course, we have movie night, which the poll will be going up very shortly on that. Last month was Hunger Games. Interesting to see what you guys choose this month. And should we reach 200, we'll go for RSBNB merchandise. And if somebody or anybody or the entire group puts us to some mythical $500 a month tier, we'll do a slate of hot ones where Tannis and myself subject ourselves, our taste buds, to a range of spicy wings for your enjoyment. So if you like seeing your hosts in pain, get us to this tier. And of course, all of this and more can be found at patreon.com/RSBNB.
Thanks, guys.
I'm really wondering how painful that will be.
It's going to be really painful. I mean, you're a little better off than I am, but I'm going to cry probably by the third wing. And there's usually, I think they always do like 10. So yeah, it's going to be rough.
All right. Well, let's see if we ever get there. And if you want to see it, patreon.com/RSBNB. Okay. I've been waiting for this week for a long time. Because, you know, I was around when Apple transitioned their computers to Intel in 2006 from PowerPC, and that was a big move. But now Apple has started the transition of moving their computers from Intel to their own custom Apple Silicon-based chips. And this week they launched a new MacBook Air, a new MacBook Pro, and a new Mac Mini with these chips. It's called the Apple M1. Apple says it will be up to 3.5 times faster on the CPU, and GPU speeds can be up to 5 times as fast. And, you know, we're already seeing some evidence that these computers, at least in the early benchmarks, are blowing away what's currently out there. The new MacBook Air, which is Apple's lightest and thinnest laptop, is reported to have 8 cores with a 3.2 gigahertz clock speed, and it is blowing away every Mac out there except for the Mac Pro in terms of single core performance. That means it's blowing away 10 core Intel desktop chips. And, you know, it's not just tying it, it's beating it. 10 core Intel desktop chips, this laptop chip is beating in the early benchmarks, synthetic benchmarks. We'll have to see what real world performance is. But this thing is beating all these desktop iMac chips on single core performance. And then when you bring that up to putting all of its cores on the task of video editing or something to that effect, the only systems that beat this new MacBook Air that has been benchmarked so far are the Mac Pro, the iMac Pro, and the top-end iMac.
I'm going to say, was that the one that was like $50,000 or something?
Yeah.
Like, something stupid like that? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, this is synthetic, but real world, we'll have to wait and see. Adobe will be bringing its suite of production software to the Mac next year. But this is astounding if these benchmarks pan out to be true, because this is a MacBook Air, and they haven't even brought out the desktop-based chips yet. This is a laptop for $999 US that's beating in single core performance all the other computers that are out there, and is beating everything except for the Mac Pro and iMac Pro.
That's pretty cool. I mean,
we're on the cusp of something really interesting here with this, honestly.
Well, and it seems like it's about time to have some kind of a jump, right? Some kind of a
Yeah.
Something.
18-hour battery life Apple has marketed on this. So it's like iPad-level battery life.
Nice.
Also, with this on the MacBook Air, no fans. 100% passively cooled, just like an iPad.
Huh.
And, of course, the interesting part about this is that with Apple building their own chips now, they can get down with their operating systems to a level that they weren't able to do on the Intel chips before, which is how they're able to squeeze this much performance out. Effectively, what's happening here is that the documents that Apple has put forward is suggesting a 3x performance increase for a third of the power on these laptops.
That's cool.
And we haven't even seen what an iMac with this would look like, or a high-end MacBook Pro. Because keep in mind, this is the entry-level MacBook Pro that has been updated with this. And, you know, sure, we can look and see what the iPads have, and we can look and see the way the iPads work. We know how snappy all the modern iOS devices are. I mean, you and I don't feel any reason at this point to upgrade our iPhone 8s from 2017.
Yeah, no.
And I think the really interesting part about this is what nobody's talking about, is that every other laptop maker out there needs to play catch up with this. And what the Dells and the HPs of the world do with Intel chips, they're going to have to force Intel to do something with this, or Apple is just going to be standing out here on the field on their own. We'll have to wait and see what happens next year on this. But the thing, the early indications on this look really, really good on these, both in terms of the MacBook Pros, the MacBook Airs, and the Mac Mini. You have any questions about this? Because I realize this is a new architecture. And
yeah, no, I'm
just going at it from an architectural standpoint.
I don't understand any part of this, actually, but I'm trying to figure out, like, so is it gonna be, well, so are they going to be like, are these like hyper-threaded like the Intels are? Like, is it essentially having, you know, double the cores, or is it only 8? Like, how
we know we have 8 real cores, and hyper-threading is an Intel technology. I don't think anything like that exists on the Apple side for hyper-threading.
Okay.
But there's actually 8 cores, like 8 actual cores, so you don't need hyper-threading to emulate 4 to 8.
Right, okay. So are they probably just going to continue to be the best at what Apple normally does, which is, you know, the creative type stuff, the video editing, the audio editing, the stuff like that.
Well,
we're not looking at a revolution in Apple being able to play, like, do gaming or something, right?
We don't know yet, because nobody's got their hands on it. But the telling thing will be, once somebody out there with a metal game that's running brings it to the Mac and to Apple Silicon, that would be the telling thing. And it's a shame. It's a shame that RuneScape is not a year ahead on their mobile development, because they could have been one of the launch partners for Apple Silicon with this.
Oh, man, that would have been cool.
That would have been another interesting opportunity, I think. Because another thing that I didn't mention today, but we mentioned back in June, is that these new computers will run iOS apps natively.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. So any game that runs on iOS will now run on a Mac.
Okay.
And all of these products had at least $100 price drop, some more, with this.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that the computer was actually less than the iPad.
Right?
Kind of shocked me a little bit. I'm like, huh. Okay.
$8.99 Canadian for the Mac Mini. It used to be $9.99. So I think that goes down to $6.99 for you guys in the U.S.,
yeah,
which has been the cheapest Mac in God knows
forever.
How long.
Yeah, no one got, no, I mean, very few people that I knew in school got MacBooks because they were so expensive.
Yeah.
Like, they're so expensive.
And I mean, $999 for a MacBook Air that is benchmarking this well.
Reasonable.
Reasonable, yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, Apple's not known for reasonable prices, so this is, I mean, that's cool.
Let's see what the U.S. price is on the Mini. $699. Starting at $699. $999 for the Air. And for the MacBook Pro in the U.S., the starting price for that one is $1,299.
I can't believe it's that. I mean, I know that's a lot, but...
It is a lot, but it could be higher.
It could be so much higher. They used to be higher, right? Like, I'm not just imagining this. Like, I swore they were way more than that.
And keep in mind, these are the entry-level products. So there's going to be a MacBook Pro 16-inch. That's going to be more expensive later.
Well,
presumably.
Naturally.
Yeah. But...
Will they do everything, though, that, like, the... like a Mac computer can
yes.
do, or are they, so they are like equivalent to the computer, not,
oh yeah, they do everything. Know, they do everything that the Macs currently do. The big That's questions impressive. That are still out that we're waiting on are how efficient is the emulation layer going to be? Because this is a different computer architecture. It's called ARM, but it's effectively Apple Silicon because they build their own. But it's using ARM-based instructions at the very low level of the CPU. And what that means is that those are different instructions that were executed on the Intel-based Macs, known as x86 instructions. So there has to be an emulation layer in the operating system that converts those old x86 commands into the new ARM commands. And that's where we're waiting to see on how efficient things are going to be, because Adobe is not bringing their suite of software to this until next year. Early next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they have a little time.
Yeah, they have a little time. Microsoft is going to be out presumably by the end of the month with Office. So, but, you know, lots of interesting things happening with this. And the biggest question is going to be, how do these things hold up in actual real world performance? And how efficient is the emulation layer going to be for the early adopters? But beyond that, everything is looking amazing to push those laptops into, you know, that iPad era or iPad level battery life.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So I'm going to be keeping my eyes on this because, like I said, you know, we know how well RuneScape runs on iOS, right? So what if we wind up in a situation eventually where the RuneScape iOS app comes out and it runs better on macOS than the native macOS client does? Then we're going to have an interesting discussion.
Yes, we will.
All right. Next piece of tech news. Google Photos is updating its storage policy. Previously, high-quality photos, as in photos... that were less than, I think it was 1600 by 1200 in pixels, were free to upload. And if you uploaded bigger than that, they were taken down to 1600 by 1200, which, I mean, is more than enough for, you know, your standard point and shoot affair. And all those photo uploads were free to Google Photos, high quality, they called it. But starting on June 1st of 2021, any new photos and video uploaded will count towards that 15 gigabytes of storage that you have on any Google account. And the caveat here is that any photos you've uploaded or videos you've uploaded before June 1st will not count towards your free 15 gigabytes. So that means anything you upload now will just go up as it always has and won't be considered part of that. But after, you'll need to start paying if you want to upload more than the unlimited number with that. But there's also another very interesting thing. If you have a Pixel phone, any photos you upload from that device will not be impacted whatsoever with this. So they're still keeping that first-class service for Google Pixel phones. But for those like myself who use Google Photos, you're going to need to either do your big bulk backup before June 1st, or if you plan on uploading large amounts after that, come up with a backup and storage plan. Do you use Google Photos?
I don't, but I don't. I don't take a lot of photos. I mean, I take a lot of photos when it comes to like when I'm doing my some of my work, but
yeah. And, I mean, those aren't the kind you want to upload to a gallery.
Exactly. Exactly. So, no. I remember checking it out when I think you'd covered it.
Yeah, it was a pick of the week.
A pick of the week, yeah, and I liked it and everything. I just don't have a lot to really upload.
And you know they're pushing their Google One storage plan for $3 a month. You can get 100 gigs.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good.
And that's Canadian, so it's probably like $2 a month for you.
Oh, that's right, because you guys have to pay with, like, beaver pelts and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And walrus pelts.
For $4 a month Canadian, you get 200 gigs, or $40 a year.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, these really aren't that bad. I mean, $140 a year for 2 terabytes. I mean, it's decent storage, so I'm not personally concerned about it, but it's just a good note out there that what was at once free is not going to be free any further when you start uploading. And the reason I chose Google Photos over Apple, which you're probably wondering, is because the front end, the web interface for Google Photos, is just better than the Photos app on iOS and Mac, because that thing breaks down if you put more than 100 gigs of photos in it, I found.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Good reason.
Mm-hmm. And before we move on to the last piece of tech news, more than 4 trillion photos are stored in Google Photos, and each week 28 billion new photos and videos are uploaded.
Wow. How many of those do you think are dick pics, Shane? I'm going to guess at least 20 million.
I'm not venturing a guess on
or
that.
Or billion. I mean billion. You said with a B. That's right. It's probably 8 billion legitimate photos.
Ay, ay, ay. All right. Next up, this weekend, SpaceX Crew 1 launch. 70% favorable chance to go based on weather. And what this is the second mission launched by SpaceX to take people to the International Space Station. And this one marks the first full crew mission. That is not a test, because you'll remember, I think it was back in May or something they launched two, and that was just a test of the vehicle and the launch process, and it was deemed a huge success. And this is going to be the first supply and recrew mission for the International Space Station that has been launched from the U.S. since 2011. The first official one, not a test.
That's so cool.
It's amazing,
gosh,
isn't it?
It's been too long. It's just, yes.
It took
I'm,
way
I'm
too
such
long.
A space nerd too. Like I'm so excited about this stuff. Like I've been gosh, I don't even know how many times I've been to NASA. My mom used to live in outside of Houston, you know, right in League City. I've been to the pool where they train. Like I've done like all these behind the scene type tours and stuff, cuz my mom worked at Boeing for a while.
Right.
Which is very, you know, it's connected. I just love it. I just love it. I'm so happy we're getting back.
The launch is targeted for 7:49 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, November 14th from Launch Complex 39A at Kennedy, which is, of course, the very famous launch pad for the Space Shuttle program, the Apollo program, and so much more.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very short ride, actually, because they're going to actually dock at the space station about eight or 9 hours later at 4:20 a.m. on Sunday morning. That's a really short ride for something like this.
Sweet.
And they'll be joining the Expedition 64 crew for a 6-month science mission.
So cool, man.
Yeah, it really is.
I wonder where is it. Do we know where it's going to be streamed? Or
NASA.gov, you can find all those. They have it on the website. Cool. They have it on YouTube. There's an app on Apple TV. Awesome. If you have one of those big, old, you know, 2-3 meter wide satellite dishes in your backyard, you can get it off that.
Okay.
Yeah. So lots of places to get it. And that's tech news for the week. We're going to move on and we'll check in with our fishing contest, which is running right now during Double XP. And, you know, currently in first place, we have Froggerman 45 with 3.7 million XP gain, Magic King with 529K, and Jade Gizmo with 421K. And as a reminder, you have until the 15th at game time reset to sign up for the archaeology skill of the month. This will be our first archaeology skill of the month since the embargo on XP has ended, so it'll be interesting to see what you guys do with that without a double XP period. It runs from the 15th until the 25th, so a little bit more time for that. And I don't know if you'll be listening to that to this early enough, but there it is. But it is double XP.
Double XP. You know what that means.
Yeah, we have work to do.
A lot.
All right. I think I was starting us off, right?
Take your drink.
All right, here we go.
You're ready.
Starting off, November 11th, we have Lord Gimli with 120 invention, Max Quest Points with 99 magic, Schnetz with 99 room crafting, Vivian 99 dungeoneering, Wolfeltopia with 99 Herblord. Moving on to the 10th, we have Kedgeworth with 99 Prayer, Malinoric with 120 Herblore, Max Quest Points again with 99 Dungeoneering, Nordic Falcon with 99 Fishing, Psyoasis with 99 Crafting. Then on the 9th, we have Dr. Rowe with 99 Cooking, Isthmus with 120 Thieving, J1, J2, J3 or Trekkie with 120 Farming, Love Natural with 120 Invention, Madhouse SC with 99 Farming on the 9th, Max Quest Points with 99 Divination, and Mike Strike 3 with 99 Divination as well. Mind got 120 Summoning, while Mythica UK got 99 Attack, Magic, and Constitution. Then we have Potato finishing off the 9th, or not even finishing off the 9th, sorry, with 99 Fishing, Construction, Hunter, Crafting, Dungeoneering, Divination, Archaeology, and Agility. Then we have Schnetz with 99 Hunter on the 9th. I'm going to pass it off to you now.
All right. Well, continuing on the 9th, we have Sethiroth with 99 Thieving. We also have Stinky Pete 22 with 99 Cooking. We have V Nightshade with 99 Woodcutting on the 9th. And
Wiki 86.
Okay. Wiki 86 with 99 Prayer. And then moving on to the 8th, we have Ocussive O with 120 Herblore and 120 Archaeology. Nice. We also have Dan with 99 Fire Making on the 8th. We have Dog Says FTW with 99 Construction. And iZant with 99 Fishing and 99 Runecrafting. Very nice. This is on the 8th. Okay. Let's see. Then we have Jammy Jenny with 120 Invention on the 8th. And Lazy
Colonel.
Lazy Colonel with 99 Herblore on November 8th. Lord Gimli with 99 Crafting on the 8th. Mythica UK with 99 Defense on the 8th. And Mythica UK with 99 Strength. And 99 Mining. He's really busy.
Oh, that was Nathan. Questscaping. That was Nathan.
That was Nathan?
Yeah.
Oh, Nathan with 99 Mining. Okay. My bad, Nathan. Then we have Questscaping with 99 Archaeology on the 8th. Surge Aurora with 99 Divination on the 8th. Thebes with 120 Crafting on the 8th. And Vivian with 99 Invention on the 8th. I'll pass it back to you, Shane.
All right, now moving on to the 7th, we have Alex 43 with 120 archaeology on the 7th. Black Mexican with 120 herb lore and 120 farming. Balbazard with 99 thieving, fire making, and fletching also on the 7th. Evil Fan with 99 archaeology. Goku SSJ Blue with 120 herb lore. Izant again with 99 smithing and 99 divination on the 7th. Love Natural with 99 runecrafting. Nafan with 99 cooking. Sparty Pants with 120 magic. Stinky Pete 22 with 99 crafting. VI Nightshade with 99 construction. Vivian again with 99 constitution and 99 slayer. Then on to the 6th we have Eulogs with 99 archaeology. Final Primal with 99 summoning. God's Shaman with 99 thieving. Izant again with 99 construction and 99 fletching on the 6th of November. And then Jag 3 Dagster with 99 defense and 99 prayer on November 6th.
Nice. Okay. Well, continuing on the 6th, we have Jag 3 Dagster with 99 prayer. Lazy Colonel with 99 summoning. And let's see. Mess Graham with 99 farming.
Nice.
Nafam with 99 fletching. Nafan again with 99 crafting and 99 prayer. We also have Rolla Dude 540 with 99 invention.
Up their irons
05 with 99 archaeology on the 6th. And Zudonus?
Yeah, Zudonus, something like that. I'm not entirely sure.
He got 99 crafting on the 6th. Zookeeper 53 with 99 herbalore. And then we have Lanakea with 99 fishing, thieving, cooking, mining, construction, magic, fire making, prayer, strength, runecrafting, invention, agility, dungeoneering, attack, smithing, divination, hunter, woodcutting, fletching, crafting, and ranged, all on the 5th. Excellent job. You probably maxed. Congratulations. And finally, we wrap it up with Sparty Pants with 99 Dungeoneering on the 5th.
And Psy Oasis with 99 Fire Making.
Where's Psy Oasis? Oh, Psy Oasis.
Yeah.
Oh, and we had another Nafan, too. Sorry.
Oh,
Nafan.
Whoops, 99 Archaeology. There we go.
There's so many, dude. We're sorry. There's so many.
Yeah, the week we decide to just do us, we have a boatload of achievements to read, right?
Yup, that's how it goes.
Yeah. All right, it is time for Pick of the Week. And, you know, I think we're all in a situation these days where we have the question of what role social media is going to have in our life and how much of it should be in our life and at what age is it appropriate for a child to get on social media and how much influence is social media having on you, either directly based on your actions that you're willingly choosing to do, or a more insidious question perhaps is how much is social media brainwashing you? And I realize that a good number of our listeners in the U.S. have been through what I personally see as dueling realities over the last 4 years brought forward by social media. And, you know, I don't think that's going to change going forward. I really don't. And there's just so much out there when it comes to news on the internet, not only social media, but news on the internet, YouTube recommendations, Instagram recommendations, Facebook recommendations. I could go on and on and on and talk about what the impact of social networking is and algorithms on humans. I could talk about that at length. But there's a very good documentary out there that everybody should check out called The Social Dilemma. You can find it on Netflix, and it talks about just how blind these algorithms are. And, you know, it's got interviews with people who worked on the original YouTube algorithm, the people who worked on the Facebook algorithm, the Google algorithm, and so on and so forth. And they talk about how these algorithms have grown beyond a point to where they're really just black boxes these days that have an input and an output, and nobody truly understands what they're doing, except for the people who have written them. And that's the very concerning part about this. And when you look at everything from news to the way the politicians act to even what pictures and videos are served up to you on YouTube and Instagram, that's all decided by an algorithm. And we have to really ask the question, how much control should an algorithm have? Should the algorithms be transparent? And how much interaction on the internet with these social media platforms is too much? And this documentary dives right into that.
Sounds really good. Very timely.
It really is. And, I mean, anybody who goes on social media sees fake news posted from a relative or a friend will empathize with this. And when I say the term fake news, I say it in terms of, you know, one person sees something as fake news and everybody else can see something else as fake news. It's like the cat being black and white at the same time. And, you know, it's something that I don't think many people think about. And when you take yourself above this and you see what exactly is happening with this, you really start to question the way we should be handling social media going forward. And, you know, I think in the climate that we're in, this is something everybody should be aware of.
No, I agree with you there. And yeah, I agree with you. And in general, stay away from Facebook. Stay away.
Yeah, and I mean, the biggest thing I have to say is that you need to just beware of siloing yourself. And if you can do that, you can kind of mitigate this effect. But there are just so many people who don't. That is really disconcerting to see. And hopefully this will be a wake-up call for everybody who sees this. So that's the pick of the week. And like you said, very timely.
Yeah. No, I think that's that's a great pick, because we definitely have to come to terms with these things. They're not going away, and we have to learn how to live our lives around them now, since they are taking such a big part of it in.
Yeah, and I won't go into the exact details of this, but this has even permeated the broadcast news to the point where I was on election night. I was watching and I was flipping back and forth between CNN and Fox, and I was witnessing two different worlds. But I'll just leave it at that. So, and this goes more into that. And it's very timely. Very timely. So, what have you been up to on RS?
Man, archaeology. Nonstop. I have been just getting all of the double XP archaeology that I can. Like I said, we've made I've jumped up pretty significant. I've gained pretty significant in archaeology so far. That's really been like it. I haven't even been able to bring out Junior yet, which I'm hoping I can at least use some of his XP this weekend. But I haven't wanted to miss not one time sprite. You know what I'm saying? So I've only been playing the one account. I need to pop the iPad up and pop up the other account and get it going too.
Nice.
How about you, Shane?
Archaeology. I mean, I finished 112, made my way to 113, and you know, with that, it is really fast. I've been doing double XP with the precision consumable, as well as the new relic from Orthon, and it is just so fast. I got 21 level 112 artifacts in an hour.
What level do you need for that artifact?
That's the Flask of Soma, which I can look up for you, right?
Relic. Crap.
Yeah.
Mean relic.
You need the Orthon Glass Flask. You put Dragon Metal on it. And then you go to the Kindred Council meeting slot. Then you fill it with the water from there while having an Arbuck in your inventory. Then you add guarana onto it and then add sweet honeycomb. So not that bad.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
So Orthanglass flask is 102.
Oh, well, I should go and do that then. I need to turn my XP off.
It's really fast. Just keep in mind you won't get soil.
Well, that's fine. I don't get soil anyway.
Okay.
Well, I guess I do, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, use your auto-scrifter.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I alluded to earlier, if I wanted to, I could, you know, tap into a Vic, and I'm fairly certain I could probably hit. I'm only at 44 hours. I could go this weekend, and I could feel like I could hit 114 or 115 even if I wanted to.
Do it, Shane. Do it.
I don't know. I think I'm going to have a
sit. You got to burn it.
I think I'm going to have a sit back and watch Star Trek Discovery tonight, and we'll take it from there.
That is definitely what I'm doing. I can't wait. Need to hurry up. I want to eat and watch some Discovery.
Yep. That's why we're doing this at the time we're at right now.
It's getting good. Yep.
Well, with that being said, we'll wrap the show up. Just a slight update. Earth was following along in our show notes and caught that we were talking about the Port Phasmatis thing that is limited to a per day that Robin in Port Phasmatis will convert it. It is limited based on your progress of the Mort Meyer achievement diary. So it's not 100%. It's just a per day that guy will do.
Okay.
Yes. So keep that in mind. Definitely. Folks. I just wanted to get that clarification in.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thanks, Reed.
Yep. So with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSPNB Update. If you want to subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, practically anything, even YouTube, youtube.com/RSPNB or update.rsbnb.com/subscribe. And we'll see you next week, everyone. Remember, the show notes are at update.rsbnb.com. And join us in French Chat, Bits Bytes. See you then, everyone. Take care.
See ya.